Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
We're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Fan Run Radio, Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Getting nice and loose in our new comfy chairs here in your Fan Run studio.
Speak for yourself, Russ.
Triggered!
Somebody's a little upset, eh?
Triggered!
Yeah, I am. Why? I am. Because you all got these nice new...
You could be sitting in this one.
Lavish chairs.
They're really nice.
I've stated that I would pretty much
fight everybody
at the station to be over there. But, you know, I'm not going to... I'm giving up the ghost. I'm not going to worry about it anymore.
I did sit on that chair. I had to do something over the weekend, and I sat down on Brandon's chair just for a minute up there in the booth, and I believe, like, you got to be careful on that thing. If you sit on it at the wrong angle, you'll never have children. It's a health hazard over there.
I mean, it's got some screw. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the padding's kind of torn out of it. I don't know. I think you're soft. I think you should sit over there. It keeps you at attention. You ought to do your job, buddy.
I do my
Less
job.
Less talky, more worky. How about that?
Oh, is that right, Bear?
Wow. Going to be one of those days, I guess, here on The Drive.
Well, he's back talking to you. I don't like it's first segment. Russ likes to get his first segment thing on. Okay?
Well, then be quiet and let Russ talk.
Just both of you. Just take it outside. Just take it outside. Don't have a ton planned here. First segment, I do want to hear from one Richard Dale Barnes meeting with the media moments ago, as his first comments since Tennessee ascended to number one in the polls on top of the college basketball universe with a big showdown in-state rivalry game at Vanderbilt tomorrow. And I messed something up. Hold on.
Oh my God.
Do that. Redo. What's it doing? Why is it doing that? All right.
Anyhow.
That's great.
How was your evening last night, Brandon?
That was fine.
Mine was good until you called me at midnight and then hung up.
I already told you. It was accidental.
It ruined. I was in a zen-like state.
All right, listen to this. Tell me how this sounds. Is that good? All right, here's Rick Barnes earlier today talking about being number one.
The fact that when you think about where we are right now, and obviously it's something that they should be proud of, but they also know we're in the middle of basketball season, and it doesn't get you anything other than the attention and notoriety it brings. But they've dealt with some attention and notoriety that people probably didn't think they would have had a year ago. And it still goes back to where you have to stay grounded in terms of your everyday work ethic, your everyday mindset, to know that we're trying to build something that's sustainable. And to do that, it's just a daily commitment. And knowing what your foundation is and trying to make it as strong as you can make it every day.
Rick, you touched on it a little bit. I'm curious also how you found out you're number one and what do you think it means to this team as a whole?
Well, when we got through with practice, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it, before it ever happened, you knew there could be a possibility of that. But one, two, three, four, I mean, the fact that we are, again, I think is a compliment to our players. I don't think there's any question. They're the ones that have put the hard work into it. I think it's a compliment to our coaching staff, to our university, the commitment. I think it's a great compliment to our fan base. And I think it says a lot about Tennessee basketball because we've got a history here. And it goes back, this university had been ranked number one in basketball before. And you go back as far as you want to go to the Ernie and Bernie days. And I think it's a compliment that these guys have continued to try to build this program to the level that we'd all like to see it and see if we can keep it there. But we haven't made a big deal about it. I won't make a big deal about it because they read what they read, and the big things that we've tried to teach these guys we're glad people are excited. I'm glad for our guys that they are. But I will still go back to my first year here when we were struggling just to try to stay competitive. Our fan base was tremendous. And I will, that's what I remember as much as anything, and where we are now. And right now, it's as simple as can we continue to, again, be the best team that this team wants to be, and that's where we've got to keep our focus.
Coach, you've sort of touched on it a little bit, but if you look at the top 20, you probably don't have a player on your roster that was recruited by any of those other schools. I mean, what does it say about getting the program to this point? What does it say about your players, your staff, your player development, that you're the number one team in the country with the kind of the kids that you have on this team?
Well, one, I think it says a lot about our staff. Rob Lanier and Mike Schwartz and Des Oliver and our support staff, everything here. But it says a lot about our players that they were willing to want to come in and buy into a system, a culture. But I go back, those five guys I named, they built this culture. And every coach has been here. We've had terrific coaches here, and we all have had different cultures. And when I came in, you guys know better than me, I was the third coach in, 4 years, 5 years? And so you think about that group of guys that we inherited, they probably didn't know if they were going or coming at the time. And so when we came in, the three guys that we brought with us, Admiral was here, but, he hadn't been really exposed to anything other than the recruiting process. Kyle, obviously. Lamonte, obviously, and one guy, and I've said it before, that I'll always be thankful for and I'm blessed to have coached is Kevin Punter, because he did buy in, and he was the very first one to buy in. And we know how that went with him. So I think it, when you're trying to establish your culture, not that the other cultures are any different, but what we wanted to do, I think you've got to give a lot of credit to, again, I go back to the facilities that we've been able to create. One of the first things we wanted to do was really have a great weight room, because our weight program, conditioning program, is really important to our player development. And we had a small one, and Dave Hart made that change. And he was willing to give us more space so we could really have a great facility that way. And then, the locker room, we weren't in a locker room really for 3 years. And so it's a lot of people that have made this where we are right now, but we all know that we can get better and that we've got to continue to improve. The players, it's not easy to walk in a locker room when you're a young freshman and you're hearing noise from guys that have had to deal with three head coaches and not know, like I said, if you're going or coming, and for them to buy in. And I actually talked to them about that yesterday, about, hey, we know where we were and we know where we are now, but we're not where we want to be. That's why you have great respect for those programs that sustain it every single year. So it's a combination of a lot of people coming together and being blessed that they see some things together. But again, we still have work to do.
Coach Barnes making his presence felt earlier today. Bear, what did you learn?
I mean, what do you mean, what did I learn?
Did you listen to – he literally just spoke for 5.5 minutes on our show. Did you listen to a single word?
I've heard it. He's been saying the stuff for days on days now.
I thought the interesting thing a couple of things. He said, first of all, he's talking about Kevin Punter when Trey has him on, I think, an hour ago. And I think that was, you know, it's obviously big to Coach Barnes that he was the first guy to kind of hear his message of how hard work and determination can make you a better player, make our program better, and put it into work so that other guys could see it. I think the other thing is, like, you know, Admiral's been here 4 years since day one, right? And, like, he might be almost symbolic of the metamorphosis of the program that's occurred over 4 years. Like, he came in here kind of chubby, kind of out of shape, not particularly skilled, tough kid, but, you know, a lump of clay to be molded. And he's been molded, man. And now he's a great player, a guy who many project to be a first-round NBA draft pick. And the team is a great team, the number one team in the land. We forget Lamonte Turner's been here since day one, too, after he redshirted. And Kevin Punter kind of took him under his wing 4 years ago. And I think Lamonte benefited a lot from that. And then, of course, Kyle Alexander has been a, you know, the proverbial project player. Like, if you say, a basketball project, like, there's Kyle Alexander, like a guy who's woefully overwhelmed his first year and has become a guy with legitimate NBA possibilities as well.
It's too bad we didn't redshirt him.
Oh man. I mean, he's our basketball T. Martin.
Yeah, because he really had no business trying to play like major college basketball that freshman year. I mean, he was so outmatched physically. If you gone back and looked at pictures, like from games from like his freshman year when he was playing to now.
I mean, I remember watching it. Like he couldn't go 5 minutes on the floor without being sprawled out awkwardly on the ground, knocked over.
I mean, what did he weigh, like 210 or something when he showed up here?
Yeah, I mean, and he hasn't put on a ton of weight, but
he's changed. He's got muscles now.
Yeah. And then a shout out from one Rick Barnes to Dave Hart, who developed that weight room.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Said.
I mean, Barnes, he liked him some Dave Hart.
Well, Dave Hart did hire him. I mean, they knew each other beforehand from when Barnes was at Clemson and Hart was at East Carolina. So they had some background there. But, okay, we'll give him that. We'll give him that.
I thought we weren't going to give it to him because the only reason – we were in that position because his previous hire was so horrendous.
I sort of like, if we're ranking Dave Hart's accomplishments.
I mean, Barnes has got to be at the top.
Granted, it's not a long list. Yeah, Barnes is definitely number one.
What else?
But you have to put an asterisk next to Barnes, right? Because he did hire Donnie Tindall and wouldn't have been in the position of having to hire Rick Barnes if he hadn't hired Donnie Tindall.
Which is the worst
hire in the history of the University of Tennessee athletics department.
Worse than Kiffin?
And maybe... Okay.
Do more damage than Kiffin?
Okay. I sit in my new comfy chair corrected. Second worst hire in the history of Tennessee Athletics Department and one of the worst of all time in collegiate athletics. You got it. I mean, we give him that, right? We'll give him that.
We'll give him Barnes?
Sure. We'll put an asterisk next to it. He didn't hire the guy. He hired the guy. A move that many of us, myself included, were highly skeptical of.
Rick Barnes?
I mean,
you are really misremembering. The day he was hired, you said it was a home run hire. It was on your show.
Well,
I listened to the whole show.
Full disclosure, I might have been pouring it on a little thick. I remember when the coaching search was going on after they fired Tindall, and I was looking at the VolQuest message board and Rob Lewis, because he follows this stuff closely, and he said that he was the first one I remember saying that Barnes is a possibility, and I remember my initial thought was, "Don't do that."
He's a
retread. Don't hire a retread.
Burnout Rick Barnes, huh?
He's getting fired. Well, I didn't think about it that deeply. I didn't think of, like, burnout didn't come to mind. But just, you don't want to hire a guy who just got fired. He seemed to
But you have to take into account why he got fired.
Well, I didn't know any of that at the time. We didn't know any of that at the time. All we knew was here's a guy who's been there 17 years and he's getting fired because they're tired of him.
I feel like we did. Because I feel like, you know, he didn't come out and say it, but they wanted him to completely retool his staff, and he said no.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't quit, so they fired him. But, like, you specifically, the afternoon – which press conference was his? The one where the mic didn't work?
Yeah.
Because I remember that.
I believe that's number four on the power rankings of awkward Tennessee athletics press conferences over the last 10 years.
So what's your top four? It's former?
I don't know. But anyway, like who would have foreseen 4 years ago Rick Barnes? If you had told anybody that day that he's hired, whether you thought it was a great hire, a horrible hire, or anywhere in between, if you had told Tennessee fans, hey, 4 years from now, he's going to have you ranked number one in the country, I don't think anybody was buying that. And if they say, yeah, I could see that, they are lying through their teeth, and you know it. You know it.
I thought he was a home run hire, but I would have fallen over and just passed out if they told me we'd be where we are right now.
Without a top 100 player on the roster, are you kidding me?
Dude's a good coach, man.
All right, stay with us. Quick timeout. We'll get your quick Rocky Top report coming up next. Trouble in Thompson Bowling last night. I'm not saying fire up the hot board. I'm just saying be ready to fire up the hot board because we might have another coaching search on the way.
She said they played with effort last night.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group and the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson. Well, let's start what happened last night. Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. And before we do that, let's go back in time. Like Huey Lewis in the news. Let's take a listen to a little bit of the Rocky Top Report yesterday on the Drive.
Bowling the Lady Balls.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, hold on. Wait. I listen to my podcasts at double speed. Let me get this back to normal.
Why don't you slow it down a little bit?
Let's go. Oh, my goodness is right. 7 o'clock tip. SEC Network has your telecast. It is the We Back Pat game.
No way she loses the We Back Pat game. There's no way. No way she loses this game.
Whew. That take was brought to
narrator
you from
there
Sub-Zero.
Was a way they lose this game. Tennessee falls heartbreaking fashion. Did anybody watch the game? Did anybody do their homework? Or am I the only one who watched the Lady Vols last night on We Back Pack Night?
We do our research. Have you done your research?
I watched on Twitter when somebody posted a clip where they were walking while the Arkansas guard was running it up the court.
You thought I was laying it on thick when I said the hustle, the determination, the heart, the grit is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
What would Pat Summitt have done if
walked out there and punched that one girl right in the face?
Okay, well, maybe. I mean, she would have called timeout and had a very sternly worded timeout huddle.
Honest to God, in no exaggeration, she would have probably ripped her there, but Barrett, she would be gone quickly.
That is not a one-off thing. I'm telling you, I've been watching stuff like that for the past five
years. I don't see how you can watch it, dude. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there.
It's Pat Summitt's program.
Yeah, not anymore.
And God rest her name soul, is it's We Back Pat Night. Her name is on the floor, and that's the kind of effort we get. And I credit Tennessee for fighting back and making a game of it. And taking the lead, we should have won the game. We took the lead with about 10 seconds to go and a couple of free throws. Avina Westbrook had a great game. We give up a runner that was barely contested. And then we take a timeout, and we've got the ball with about 3 seconds to go, mid-court, side 2.3. Court out of bounds.
2.3.
And
or 3.2.
After a timeout, like, we just throw it to Westbrook, which, okay, at least we got it to our best player, but no screen, no real plan. I mean, it looked like when you're coaching your Pee Wee team and you're just like, give it to Timmy, he's our best player, just like give it to him and hope he, yeah, just like hope he can make a play. I mean, and she just ran into the girl. It was just an awful, awful possession.
So, I mean,
anyway.
So what's the fix? You really think that she's it's run that she needs to be replaced?
I don't know, Bear.
I've never seen you hesitate to call for a coach's head. Well, you wanted to fire Butch after the second Florida game.
I mean, it's pretty clear that this ain't working. It's pretty clear that this ain't working. And, I mean, you saw the quotes. Everybody's seen the quote now. She said, I think Pat would be proud of how we fought.
Whoa.
I'm not going to pile up. We all know what has to be done here. Yes, there needs to be a coaching change. It's awful.
Florida's not firing her midseason. I don't know where, you know. I mean, I'm not – Chad and those guys, you know, Chad Withrow put it out there, and I'm not calling him a liar, but, I mean, can you see Coach Fulmer letting her go in the middle of a season?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the behind the scenes, the way that program operates. I know that Holly and Coach Fulmer have been close friends. That changes, though, a little bit when he becomes athletics director. I mean, he's your boss now, and you could still be friends with your boss, but – it's a different
– like he's, you think you could handle if like, Nate put me in charge and you had to answer to me? It's kind of a similar situation, I feel like.
I mean, I feel like I would hand in my resignation before you actually took charge, but
– you would quit if I was your boss?
So, here's the deal, man. This Lady Vol thing, it's broken. I know it. You know it. We all know it. Nobody can stick their head in the sands anymore. I mean, we've all seen it. It's all been – thrown out there in front of us.
You don't think she can get it turned around from here?
Whether or not you do it now or at the end of the season, what's the difference to me? We've got the number one team in the country, Notre Dame, coming in here Thursday night, and they're
what if she upsets them.
They are absolutely going to pound our eyes shut.
Never know.
And maybe you wait and do something after here. I'll be watching this weekend. I'll be watching after that Notre Dame game. If it's as bad as it looks like it's going to be, maybe you make the change there. If you don't make it after that, I think you wait until the end of the season.
But, what if she beats Notre Dame?
I don't know. What if monkeys fly out of my butt? What if Rick Butler takes off flying out of the fan-run studios? Like, what do you mean, what if she beats Notre Dame?
What if she beats Notre Dame?
For those of us who've been watching the sports, who have background knowledge, who know what we're talking about, we understand that's not going to happen.
Whoa.
You've said you're not. I mean, I'm not taking a shot. You said you haven't watched any of the games. All you've seen is one Twitter highlight.
I've watched it enough.
No, you haven't.
I've watched the sport enough.
You have not watched this. The only amount of the sport you've watched this year is a five-second Twitter highlight. That's not watching enough.
I watched a considerable amount the first year I was on the drive because you told me that I had to keep up with all sports. And it's just it's
so you don't do it now? You
well,
just
no,
did that the
because
first year?
Yeah, I did it the first year with sports that I wasn't familiar with, like women's basketball. But it's just, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of hard to watch.
Okay, well, I mean, so you're admitting that you don't watch the sport?
No, because it's hard to watch. Baseball team.
I get that.
I can't.
You don't like it. We understand. You don't like women's basketball. We get it. A lot of people do. This is Tennessee.
If we're going to put all that money into it, then they need to win.
And what's going on right now, it's unacceptable, man. That's the only word for it. It's unacceptable. And she said that she didn't have to coach effort last night. I mean, we're watching the games. You might not have had to coach effort last night. You might not have felt like you had to coach effort last night, but you kind of did because your team's not giving effort. And I don't want to –
they were walking up the court.
I don't want to get into this thing we do, like where we do it with football coaches where we parse the words and it gets really personal and insulting and everything. I don't want to do that with her. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, man. What do you think, Brandon Orrick? Do you do it now? Do you wait till the end of the season? Or do you just say, it's women's basketball, who cares? We're just going to let her keep coaching till the end of her contract in 2020.
I mean, I don't think you do it in the middle of the season. I mean, unless she decides to step down herself. But I think you wait till after the season's over with and then go from there. But I do think a change needs to be made.
Rocky Top Report is brought to you by the Craigner Group. You check them out online at bonoshouses.com. You get set to move this year. Call my guy Bo Craigner at the Craigner Group, East Tennessee real estate professional. He'll come over to your house, do a free consultation, tell you exactly what you need to do with your home before you list it so that you can get it sold quickly. List it, sell it, and move on. The Craigner Group, 865-742-1035. BoKnowsHouses.com. And the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson, if you're thinking of buying or building or refinancing in 2019, do what I did. Call the mortgage pro. He'll get you the lowest loan rate possible. BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. That's BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. Or just text mortgage pro to 48421. So open up the phone lines here. Talk some hoops. Tennessee's number one in the land. The Lady Vol program that used to live at number one has fallen off the map. Let's unpack both these things here. And let's talk some basketball this afternoon. Your thoughts on just the state of things in both programs. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show today. 546-8200. Your number to get on The Drive. We're back with more after this here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
National. I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast with Mike Tyson. Everybody's talking about. It's pretty good. Crazy Mike Tyson. Have you seen the pictures of him with the Tigers that he had?
No.
He had since they were Cubs?
Mm-mm.
Just Google Mike Tyson Tiger.
Is he just sitting with him?
Well, when he was in prison, like some guy he met was like, I can get you some Tigers. And Crazy Mike Tyson was like, sure. So when he got out, he had these two Tiger cubs. And you see him walking this full-grown tiger on a chain. And they show Mike Tyson. He's sitting there all cut up. He's in his underwear with like a full-grown tiger like wrestling around with it.
Yeah.
The craziest thing you've ever seen. Tyson's on this podcast. He's like,
Tyson went by his ear.
He's like, yeah, man, I was crazy. I don't even know what I was doing back then, man. I look back on that, and I don't even know that guy. He was insane.
Yeah, if you're walking a tiger around on a leash.
He's got a big chain leash. Like, what do you see Mike Tyson in his underwear walking a tiger on a chain leash through your neighborhood, a super rich neighborhood in Las Vegas. You're like, oh. Hey, what are you doing with that tiger?
It's my tiger. I do what I want with it.
All right, champ. Good talk. See you out there. What are you going to do? Imagine like a cop being called to go to Mike Tyson's house on like a domestic disturbance or
well,
something.
His father's
in the early
90s. Hangover, isn't that what he gets?
Yeah.
They stole one of his tigers.
And everybody thought that was like something like silly. No, Mike Tyson owns full-grown tigers.
Yeah. Then he knocks out Galifianakis.
Still got it. Let's read some of these Twitter comments. We'll get right to these phone lines here. Book of Eddie says, Holly's turning into the female Butch Jones with those quotes.
Be kind.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Michael says, what is possibly gained by pulling the trigger midseason? Nothing. It's done for this year. Just wait until after the season. Ask for her resignation. Pay her a severance. I think I read where her buyout's only like $600,000. I say only. I mean, who wouldn't love to have a $600,000 check coming their way?
That's like probably 8 to 10 times more than any of us make in 10 years.
But for over there, for what we pay to football coaches and basketball coaches?
This is where you're going to lose me again because we didn't give that to the baseball coach.
Oh, you're I forgot. Fiscally responsible Bear is appalled at a $500,000 buyout. DC says, I can't believe – you didn't believe in Barnes from the start. I knew he'd have us number one. Sure you did, DC. Sure you did. Let's get Sean in here first. Sean, you're on the drive. It's Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Well, that's the first and last Lady Vols game I'm watching of the season. And really, the only reason why I watched it is because all I heard yesterday, Bear, all I heard was you in my head last night, too. There's no way she loses the backpack
no
game.
Way
right?
They lose
no
the way back pack game.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, she's going to lose. And that last play, I don't know if it was poor execution or motivation or a combination of both. Just something looked completely wrong. It was terrible.
It's
and
like
on the other side.
It's like the old Civil War quote about seeing the elephant. You know, like some guy who had been to India and had seen an elephant was like describing to Americans what an elephant was, and he said, "There's no way to describe it. You have to see it for yourself." And that's kind of like what I've been telling the people who don't watch it. It's like, look, man, like they're not even trying out there. They have quit on her. I mean, oh, no, that's not possible. That's Pat Summitt's program. And you turn it on and you see the elephant and you're like, whoa, yeah, there's no denying it. They have quit. That's unacceptable.
I completely agree. And then on the other side, I don't know, you know, Saturday was the first time I've been to a game. If you guys have heard or talked about or seen this Vols Hype app.
Is that the thing they used before for the pregame introductions?
Yes, and it was really, really cool. I mean, it gets the crowd involved in that. And I didn't know what it was. They were telling me to download an app, so I didn't do it because I don't do what I'm told to do all the time. But then when I saw the introductions and the way it was integrated into it, I was like, damn, man, I should have downloaded that app. So it's pretty cool. I took a little video of it. I'll tweet it out here when I get home in about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the videos. It looks awesome. And here's the thing about it, Sean, is I think there are probably a lot of people like you that are like, they go to the game and they don't have the app, and it's like, yeah, whatever. And then you see that, well, now you're going to download the app, and the next time you go to a game, you're going to use it. Well, most of the games now are sold out, so it's going, as cool as it looked Saturday, it's going to continue to look cooler and cooler as more people download that app and use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to download it, and I'll be there Saturday. So.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean.
Lady Vols go.
All right, man. Appreciate the phone call. Do you know what he's talking about? The app, the Hype app?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, man. You don't think he knows what he's talking about?
Yeah. Oh, you don't think I know what he's talking about? Really? You want to put 20 on it?
No, you just seemed like you were zoned out.
No.
Okay. I believe you.
I mean, I was zoned out, but I know what he's talking about.
It's pretty awesome, man.
I just discovered a treasure.
Uh-huh.
On Twitter.
The Mike Tyson pictures?
No. It's an old Twitter account that you forgot about.
What, my old Twitter account? Yeah. Is it what, at Russell the Drive? Or
the Drive from another station.
Yeah.
I just got,
it was like
just
a got the, oh, it was like a Twitter account
the
of the
drive,
show.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Talking about Dooley and stuff. I mean,
it's like a time warp.
I'm sitting over combing through and trying to find cold takes. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, what the whole hold your phone up and that whole deal.
Yeah,
I watched it the other day. I mean, it looks like something out of, you know, when the circus is in town and.
Everybody's got those glow sticks.
Those cool flashlights that spin.
Somebody figured that out. Hey, man, everybody's got a phone. Let's, like, hook it up and do a synchronized light show.
Just an app.
Do they announce, like, if you're epileptic, you might want to close your eyes or something?
Yeah, I wondered about that.
I've not heard it.
That's all we need, some guy freaking. It's all fun and games until
somebody has a
Rick
Grand
Barnes
Caesar.
Flops down face first in pregame warm-ups.
It could be anybody.
Let's get Dustin in here next. No, Dustin? All right. We'll take a quick break. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. The Drive rages on. Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
There are 38 NBA scouts credentialed to attend the game tomorrow at Vandy. 33! And, I mean, this game, a lot of potential NBA prospects, and that's despite Vanderbilt losing projected lottery pick Darius Garland to a season-ending knee injury earlier in the season. But, of course, I mean, Grant Williams is the one we're all talking about now. He's going up the draft boards. People are saying first round now. I mean, that's absolutely insane to me. He's number 28 in an ESPN mock draft from earlier this week. Of course, Admiral Schofield is hanging around number 29 by ESPN and a late second round pick by NBADraftNet.com. Vanderbilt has Simi Chatu. He could be a one and done. 6'10", 240-pounder. That'll be an interesting matchup for Kyle Alexander. He's projected a number 45 pick by ESPN. Jordan Bone is getting some consideration all of a sudden for his exploits. He's not projected in any of these mock drafts, but he's got one more year. And I was reading in the game notes where he is expected to shatter the all-time school assist-to-turnover ratio.
He's playing lights out. I mean, I'm not sure what his number is right now, but I mean, I know earlier in the season, especially in conference plays, his assist numbers have been ridiculous.
Aaron Nesmith, Vanderbilt shooting guard, long 6'6" frame. He's a freshman. He's getting some buzz. And then there's Saban Lee. Remember, Saban Lee gave us fits in that game there in Nashville last year. How did this series go last year? Did we win them both? We won there, right? Bone had a huge game.
I think we swept him last year.
I think so, too.
Kyle Alexander, of course, is a guy that's getting a lot of buzz. You know, is to me, he's the most interesting guy on our roster as far as he's not through developing physically. Like, Grant and Admiral kind of are what they are. Jordan Bone's not going to get any, you know, he's not getting any taller, anything like that. But Kyle Alexander, we talked about earlier, you know, he comes into school as a stick figure, and he hasn't gotten that much bigger. He's still listed, I think, at like 215 or 220 on the official roster, which is not very thick for a 6'11" frame. But a lot of those guys, you see them like after 4 or 5 years in the pros, they look like completely different human beings. And I would imagine that Kyle Alexander,
fully mature.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that Kyle Alexander, if he keeps working out, keeps eating the way he, you know, doing these things he's doing now, whatever he is, 21 years old, like 4 years later, if he keeps doing that for 4 years at 25, can he get up to 240 pounds at 6'11", strong, muscular, big enough to do battle with the Joel Embiids of the NBA? If he could do that and continue to hone his shot, he might have the most pro potential of anybody on our roster right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the size. If he could work on kind of a little bit of an outside game, kind of the mid-range, which I know the NBA, we've talked about it, and everybody kind of knows, the NBA is going to, it's dunks, layups, or a three.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I mean, Kyle's not, he's not going to be a three-point guy. I mean, I feel like if he could work in like a...
You don't think so? I think he's got a nice-looking stroke, man. I wish they'd let him shoot more here.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right. I always cringe, well, like, whenever him or Grant...
Decided, really?
Yeah.
When Grant Williams tees up a three ball, you cringe?
Most of the time.
I love it. Because he only does it when he's wide open. He's very selective in taking those shots.
I would just rather him be a little bit closer.
Just take it to the hoop?
Yeah. That's me.
Interesting.
But I mean, if Kyle can get that kind of that shot from the elbow 15 feet.
If you notice that all of a sudden the elbow is the latest hip in basketball phrase to use that everybody's talking about.
It's a throwback, man. That's like Bob Cousy used to be about the elbow. Like that.
I don't even know what the hell it means, but I'm sick of hearing it. Everybody acts like they know what it means. What's it mean, Brandon?
Wait, whoa. You don't know what the elbow is in basketball?
I have no clue, Russ. I just watch the damn games.
Okay, so you got the free throw line.
Yep.
And then at each end of the free throw line where it stops
and hits the lane.
That's the elbow.
Okay.
If you watch Bone, every possession, and I'm not talking about every now and then, I'm talking every possession, he goes to one of the elbows. That's how we start our offense every time, is with Bone getting to the elbow. Now, he doesn't always shoot. He doesn't always sometimes he just backs out. As a matter of fact, that's what he does most of the time, is he'll just kind of probe around there, get to the elbow, suck the defense in, and then back out. And sometimes it was just like going to another play, but – every single time, Bone to the elbow. It's that was kind of what.
Bunch of hipsters, all of you.
Bear is in a mood this afternoon.
I'm sour.
What do you have to be sour about? We're number one. It's a beautiful day.
You're trying to fire Holly. You make me sick.
You know what makes me sick?
What's that?
Your faux shilling for Holly Warlick, as if you care
at all
about tennis. You don't. You don't.
How dare you?
You don't watch
How
the game.
How dare you,
You've
sir.
Admitted you don't watch the games.
They don't clearly care.
Seeing right through your sheen of pretending to care about Holly Warlick, and it disgusts me. That's what gets me triggered.
What do you mean?
On a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, it makes me want to puke in my soup.
Well, puke in it, buddy. I'm a Holly supporter.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not. You don't care.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
I just don't think we should pay her $1 million for sucking at her job, make her work out her contract.
You're a phony, Bear.
How am I phony? I've said this from the start. I just don't want to buy her out. Is she a horrible coach?
See,
it looks like it. Do I feel bad for her? Absolutely.
I don't want to buy her out. I'm watching that bottom line closely, trying to get this athletic program in sound fiscal shape. Don't want to buy her out. I mean, we could buy a new set of tennis rackets with that, new rowboat for the rowing team.
Top five-star football players.
A block and sled or two. We don't need to be wasting that money on women's basketball. They got a money machine in the bottom of the offices down there. They just go print more. $112 million budget. At Bear is we can't buy out the women's basketball coach. That's just a bridge too far. Can't do it. So disingenuous.
Said the same thing.
So disingenuous.
Del Saronico, the baseball coach.
This is twice you've called him Del Saronico. I'm not sure whether you're talking about Rod Delmonico or Dave Serrano.
Neither is he, which is the point. You don't care. I need a Bear Don't Care sounder that I can play, the alert, to let the audience know that what Bear's currently doing is not real sports analysis. It's just verbal diarrhea all over your airwaves, designed to confuse you.
Have you seen this pile of crap?
You're quite the jerk today, aren't you? It's all right.
We're sitting here breaking down Tennessee basketball. You're the one who pulled us back into the Holly conversation. I was done with it. I was moving on.
Because you're calling for her to be fired.
I'm not really. I'm asking the questions.
What did she spell? You want to leave town, Russ? Huh?
Oh, all right. Here we go.
Run her out of town like you did Coach Fulmer. Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
You and Jamie and all the rest of you.
Did I sleep through some period where Coach Fulmer left town?
He moved to Maryville. Maryville.
He's lived in Maryville for 30 years.
This guy's got big money. Moved out there with the beautiful people in Maryville.
We need a fact-checking. It's supposed to be what Rick's doing, but he's on Tinder right now. Take a quick break. hour number two of The Drive headed your way next here on Fan Run Radio. The Drive.